one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leave you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith the fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. I hope you dance. I hope you never fear those mountains.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. Oh, I love that song. It's a great reminder of how we should live our life, but we always don't. And we are excited to have in studio with us today our friend Nicole DePalma. She gets into all these great topics, and I love that about her. And we are actually going to talk about something that was in the news recently, and that is the five myths, common regrets of dying, and what we can learn from them. So It's really great to see you. How have you been?
Oh, delightful. It's staying warm. How about you?
Oh, I'm barely staying warm. But yes, it's that time of year, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is.
So let's talk about this, because when people are on their deathbed, and we've both been around people that have been sick, sometimes it's interesting what they think about and what they regret. And I know you're all about living a life of no regrets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's just basically regrets are living in the past.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, all the things that should have, would have, could have. And if we live a life of mindfulness, I find that we're in the present. We always have to be, but, you know, moving forward as well. Past is great. We hope we learn from it. And regrets maybe are mistakes. But to dwell there, nothing happens in the here and now then. And that's a lot of emotion that, my gosh, that'd be luggage I'd want to be dropping at the airport. So I just think that why don't we carry a lighter load, a lighter heart as we go through this life of ours.
And I know you and I are referencing an article that was written by a former palliative care nurse, and she's a best-selling author, Bronnie Ware. And she said that in all of her experience that she has had with people that are in the last stages of life, that there really are some specific things that seem to be overriding. And one of them was, I wish I'd lived a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me.
Amen. Amen.
So what do you think that means?
Well, the one line, and I actually wrote it down, Mo, the one line that really stood out to me in that section that she wrote was, life is the power of choice, and what we hold. We, as human beings, have the ability to make choices, to be active in our choice-making, to move toward acting, being, behaving in ways that, you know, she keeps mentioning what's true to your heart, you know, what's true to your true north. We kind of have talked about that before, but the choices that we make are our life. And what are we going to do with this precious time? The other thing that she mentioned there was time is sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And if we make choices that are true to ourselves, how we spend this time that we have is finite, but let's spend it well.
Mm-hmm.
That just truly stuck out to me in that particular section.
And I think doing that takes courage sometimes.
Oh, courage. Yes. Yeah. It's so easy. And I think she brought that up too. Well, kind of moving into the second section that she's talking about, but courage in living a life that's true to yourself instead of what others would expect of you or what you think others expect of you. That's, you know, assuming things.
What are some examples of that that you've seen in the world?
I see it a lot with women. I see it a lot with them being And I don't mean this in a bad way, but living lives through, say, their husbands, their significant others, their children.
That becomes your identity?
Exactly. Maybe a caretaker or your whatever your job title might be. But what's expected of me in this role instead of how do I have the role fit me and how do I embody being a daughter, a mother, anything like that, instead of this outside coming in. And we need to be working from the inside out, again, coming from the heart.
One of the other things that she noticed is another regret that she said that people that were in the last stages of life had was they wished that they hadn't worked so hard.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of people, yeah. though, their work is their identity mm-hmm. and their life and their hobby mm-hmm. and their livelihood and their, you know, all wrapped together.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't
mm-hmm.
it interesting that really when all is said and done, doesn't matter on your deathbed, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't. When I read that, it made me, you know, and I can only speak for myself, no one else in my family, but that just kind of summed up my father, I thought.
Okay.
For him, it was work, 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 and he loved it.
Did he like what he did, or did he like just the mm-hmm. process of working?
Mm-hmm. I think both, seriously, but when retirement came along, it was like somebody pulled the stool out from underneath him. He had other hobbies, but nothing that he was really in love with. He did have friends, but again, this is just my opinion. It seemed like they weren't deep friends. They were surface friends, social friends. He was a very social person. But it seemed like once that work was gone, that was kind of that fire that kept him going.
Did he not want to retire?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he would have kept going. At that point, he was still a sound mind, sound body. I think that he could definitely have continued. But, you know, back in the day, sometimes you hit a certain age and that was the end of that.
Right. And you worked your whole life so that you could retire.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it wasn't for everybody, as
exactly.
you said, with your dad. So what do you think? Do you think he had that regret when he died?
Mm-hmm. I think he did, yeah.
Did he work too much?
Yeah, he was a workaholic, truly. Uh-huh. Yep, that's what kept him going.
So it kept him going, but yet, do you think that he knew, he had that feeling that he maybe could have spent his life in a different way?
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, again, I can only speak for myself because we never had the conversation. But I think that there was fear there from that going forward. You know, now the now what? You know, what have I cultivated outside of this part of my life? And it didn't seem like there was that much there as far as getting up every day. And I think that the other thing he missed, too, was an order to things. You know, that I get up, I go do this, I come home and do this, and then you're pretty much a free-range human after that. And again, now what? Mm-hmm. And there wasn't too much to fill that now what in.
Did he look maybe to do anything part-time?
It's kind of funny because he got asked to do various things, but and he did some of them, but not all. And then it got to the point where he was physically ailing, and then that took over his life. You know, his doctor's appointments, his medications, that type of thing, that became his life. And mm-hmm. that's the direction that he took that way.
One of the other regrets in this article that the author talks about is, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. And she starts off by saying, when children are sad, they cry. When they're angry, they vent. When
uh-huh.
they're scared, they say they're scared. And when they're happy, they dance. Just
yeah.
like the song that we had.
Yeah.
So people didn't express their feelings is something that came up at the end of life. And they wished they had.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is very sad.
Isn't it though? To not mm-hmm. having said or done things that you really, that was important to you, but it didn't happen.
Or just not being able to cry if you wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Just expressing
yeah.
your feelings should be something that everybody is entitled to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to be able to own that, but also for others to respect that as well. And I think that that's something that I'm so glad we get to talk about, because I think that, in my opinion, what's wrong with standing with your own true self? you know, and coming from when you speak your mind and say what you feel in honesty, you don't have to be rude about it. You don't have to put people off or anything. I think that a term that she used was emotional maturity when you're speaking from your true self. And I wish that we do that more. You know, Minnesota nice doesn't have to be Minnesota rude. You can still say what you feel. And I think others would start to respect that a little bit more as well, instead of being such a pushover sometimes.
And I think if you say what you really feel, then you do cultivate deeper relationships.
Absolutely.
With people.
Yeah.
It's not surface then.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then people too, you know, coming into a relationship, you know, with you or whomever, can say that pretty much what you see is what you get. You know, there aren't going to be any surprises. If your dad used to say, speak the truth, you have less to remember. Isn't that
how
great?
How true.
Yeah, how true. But I think that people can feel comfortable with someone else who's coming from an honest position, coming from a heart that's open and honest.
Another thing that this article touches on, I wished I had stayed in touch with my friends, which I thought that was interesting, because I think today we have the opportunity to overstay in touch with people with, you know, texting even when you're in bed sleeping, or, you know, you wake up and people have emailed you. And
yeah.
But yet that's really not physically staying in touch, is it?
No. And isn't there something about, you know, when you're texting people or emailing or however you're communicating people with people, when there's a buffer there of not, you know, like you and I right now are face to face and looking at each other, sometimes we say things that we regret. You know, when there's a filter there, you know, I think a lot of the bullying that we get nowadays, or a lot of lack of anger management, comes from social media, that type of thing. And when you're standing next to somebody and you're having a relationship, and it could be one-on-one or in a group, but really getting to physically be with the person, and then you can start having some empathy, some sympathy, that stand in somebody else's shoes. And that's hard to do when you're texting somebody or emailing or however else that we're choosing
and
to relate.
And those are good things, if that's all you're able to do.
Exactly.
But there's nothing like the face-to-face, or really getting away, or getting to... And I like how they said in this article that it was staying in touch with old friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is nothing like an old friend.
Yeah.
You know, to reminisce with, to talk about, especially probably in your later years, to laugh with.
Yeah, And I don't mean this in an ageist way, but there's something about when I'm with friends that, say, I grew up with or went to school with, and we share, like, for example, music. You know, you have, oh, these were our songs, kind of things. And now a new age has their own thing too as well, and I appreciate it and I love it. But there's a comfort there. And then you have memories, experiences. You can laugh, and sometimes you can just say a word and it kicks off a memory, and you start laughing and giggling, and sometimes it's a great icebreaker too. But old friends are such dear friends, and they're always there. Always.
And I think the other piece about, even if you weren't super good friends, but going to a class reunion, you have so much more in common with the group of people that show up there than you do, let's say, the person that you are, you know, next to at a movie or something.
Yeah.
Because you have so many shared experiences, even though you might not have been best friends. I really recommend going to class reunions and that kind of thing, because I think that's a good opportunity for people to just reconnect and go back to your roots. And it should bring back really good memories to people.
Yeah. And apparently get married. I know from a couple class reunions, some old classmates of mine wound up getting married to each other.
What?
So there's got to be something good going on there.
No kidding. Yeah. They rekindled a lot of good memories.
Yeah, I was going to say, talk about shared experiences.
Exactly. Another thing in this article, one of the regrets that people have when they're dying is that, I wished I had allowed myself to be happier. And that is, again, that's really a sad thing to be thinking about at the end of your life. And in here it says, we choose happiness and we choose to find the blessings mm-hmm. in life, and some people just get stuck in mm-hmm. old stories, and it becomes mm-hmm. just a circle of negativity.
Yeah.
And that is a sad way to live. I can just close my eyes and think of some people that they just are unhappy, and it makes you unhappy to be around them.
Yeah.
But yet you just want to say, oh my gosh, life is so good. There are blessings if you just look.
Yeah. That word gratitude again, mm-hmm. you know, attitude of gratitude. Even just pick one thing, and sometimes it just will warm you enough that then all of a sudden, if not just outright joy, it can still put a smile on your face. Because if you live in, you know, I think she was saying, staying stuck in the mucky muck, then have you looked out in a way, get out of that. There's so many other cool things out there mm-hmm. to enjoy and savor. Mm-hmm. Look what you're missing when you stay stuck.
And everybody has a point in their life when they're stuck in the middle of the eye of the storm.
Yeah.
We all go through that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the getting out of it.
Yes.
Or realizing that the eye of the storm, it doesn't last forever. It moves. Mm-hmm. It passes. Mm-hmm. And I like this one quote she has where she says, life is not a penance. It's a precious gift of time.
Yeah. Wasn't that a great line? Mm-hmm. Oh, I really love that. Boy, you talk about short, sweet, and to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Just wonderful. Yeah, we're not here to suffer. We just aren't. We can, there is a saying, you can make a heaven of hell or a hell of heaven. Again, it's choices that we make.
And some people, though, Nicole, they do have tougher lives than others.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Mm-hmm, for sure.
What do you say to that?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed, though, sometimes, Mo, it seems like sometimes the people that have it tougher are the ones that are more thankful. You know, people that have had to struggle to get from somewhere to somewhere, but they owned that struggle and they came out stronger for it. And they appreciate where they got to and what they have more because they were the ones that, you know, for lack of a better way, pulled up their bootstraps perhaps and just put their head down and walked through it. Sometimes if you're just given things, you don't really have that much appreciation for what it is that you've been gifted with. So again, that attitude of gratitude, but there's strength there and there's power. And I think that emanates from people as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, Nicole, gosh, really interesting conversation today. And we hope that people really take time to think about some of these common regrets that people have that are dying. And again, we are talking about an article and a book by former palliative care nurse and author Bronnie Ware, and she spent a lot of time with people in the last stages of their lives, and these are some of the things that she said were a common thread mm-hmm. in a lot of people's conversations with her. So
mm-hmm.
Yes, attitude of gratitude. You yeah. have that.
Oh,
love
so
that.
You.
Well, I hope so. I don't know. Try to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I try to. And we're so grateful that you came in to chat with us. Nicole DePalma, if people want to chat more with you, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, my cosmic phone number, no, just kidding. It's 651-318-9168.
We want to thank our guest today, Nicole DePalma, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.
I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid love.